The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 22 to 26.
Glory to you, O Lord.
They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. Precious, loving Creator God, we give you thanks for this moment, this time, and this space. We are so grateful, God, to be gathered together before you. God, I ask that you decrease me, increase you in me, speak to me, speak for me, and speak through me, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts are pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Today we are continuing our study of the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. This is our fourth week. And we started this as Paul was providing pastoral counseling for his congregation. He's sharing what he is up to, where his ministry is. And later in the letter, as we walk through it, we will see that he will eventually ask for their participation in the ministry. Of note in this particular aspect of the letter is that Paul has been dealing with them on the challenges that they are facing. Does that sound familiar? As church and the challenges that we are facing? We started this series with Paul providing the church instruction on the importance of consoling each other, how to be compassionate with each other, listening to each other as we experience different suffering. He then goes on to share with them the importance of forgiveness. He reminds them of his own experience where there was a difficulty with a member. And he says to them, "I have forgiven him. You need to also." Last week, we entered into the conversation around treasure in clay jars, as we were reminded about the fragility of our exterior body, but pointed to the beauty and the hope of Christ within us that becomes the light in the darkness that shines out to those we encounter. Today, Paul continues his teaching by directing them not to focus on the things that they can see, but to focus on the things that cannot be seen. Very familiar language, as we remember that when we talk about faith, it is a focus on trusting on what we cannot see and believing God to provide it. He clarifies what he's saying by using a couple of different examples, and he starts with the tent. He reminds them that a tent is a temporary housing. It is not a stable housing. And if you are like me, I have never gone camping, but I've seen enough shows about camps and tents and rainstorms and windstorms, and they usually don't do very well. I also see bears coming at it. So I'm glad that Paul goes on to talk about that while the tent, our exterior part, is temporary, our aim and our focus is on the permanency of the home that God is preparing for us. And the home that God prepared for us is lasting. But lest we get confused, Paul's focus is not just about someday in the by and by. Paul continues to teach them about what it is to be here and to participate. And he reminds them that in the difficulty that they're facing, even though the desire is to replace that with the permanency of God, that we have the Holy Spirit with us as a guarantee to walk through what we are experiencing. I was particularly touched by the language of, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. And he goes on to say, for while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden. We groan. What is it that you are groaning about right now? What particular challenge are you finding yourself facing? What particular challenge are we asking God to step into and give us strength for? I can name a few, and we certainly have been talking about this for several weeks now. But I'm sure as I ask that and I pause, COVID-19 popped into many a people's head. Our inability to worship the way that we've been used to, our inability to fellowship with our loved ones the way we are used to. We've termed it social distancing, but I'd like to argue it's physical distancing, because we still need to be socially connected to one another. Maybe it's not being able to travel. Maybe it's the fact that we had a number of names listed over the last few weeks of those who have gone home to glory, and we have not been able to honor them in the way that we are familiar with. What are you groaning under? Or maybe it's the tension of relationships that we find ourselves in this country as we are experiencing racism, a word that we have found ourselves very uncomfortable about lifting up, because it points to the divide that we find ourselves in. Do we protest? Is it right? Is it wrong? What about police brutality versus police protection? Why are we even having this conversation? Aren't we all children of God? And therefore, why do we need to see the differences? And we groan. The burden is heavy. Paul reminds us, though, that we are to be clothed in Christ, who is with us and can see us through this, that can help us through this suffering. I believe our gospel lesson today gives us a good indication of how to manage this. It's the story of a blind man who encounters Jesus. It says that he is taken to Jesus for Jesus' touch. And they beg him to touch him. How many of us are longing for physical touch right now? We've been isolated from loved ones, and even when we see friends, we hesitate about touching them because touch has become a meaning of thing that we're not supposed to engage in. And then I find it so fascinating. Jesus does what I consider one of the grossest things. He spits in his hand and he rubs it on his face, on his eyes. Can you imagine that? We certainly today won't be doing anything near that way. I mean, we've got our mask on, so no droplets go anyplace. But Jesus not only touches him, but Jesus shares a part of his bodily fluids on the man's face. Now, I must admit, I have seen, and I'm guilty. Have you seen those parents who lick their thumb and scrub a mark off of a child's face when it's all dirty? Yes. And we think nothing of that, because that is an attention of care and love to our children or those that we're taking care of. Jesus then asks the man, what do you see? Now, we know Jesus has the ability and the power to heal with just his words. We have evidence in the Bible when in stories where we're told that Jesus says, go and you are healed. The centurion comes to Jesus and his son is sick and Jesus simply says, he is well and the child is well. So it wasn't necessary for Jesus to touch him. But even upon touching him and Jesus knowing his own power, Jesus asks the question, what do you see? Can you see anything? And the man replies, I can see people, but they look like trees walking. Now, unless he was watching a Star Trek movie like I was, he wasn't seeing very clearly. Is that perhaps what we find ourselves in now, where our sight have become clouded, where we aren't able to see as clearly as we used to? Because the noise around us in our environment is so loud, we can't see anymore. We're trying to listen and to honor what we hear, but we don't know which news report to follow. We don't know which instruction we're supposed to do. We can't see clearly. Did we ever think we would come to a point where we would have a discussion about educating children about should it be online? Should it be at home? Is the teacher able to go in? How many distance do we need to keep between them? What's the safety of the children? What about parents trying to go back to work? And then Jesus touches the man again. And it tells us in the gospel that on the second touch, the man looked around and his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. Are we at a posture where we're waiting for Jesus to help our eyesight clear up so we can see what God wants us to do? You see, because something interesting in Paul's instructions to the church in Corinth is that their aim and their focus, whether they are in this tent or whether they are clothed in the eventual home that we're looking forward to going to, our aim is to do what pleases God. Paul reminds us that we can be confident with the Holy Spirit walking with us. And in that confidence, we know that we don't have to travel this alone. But Jesus says something interesting to the man when he's finished healing him. He says to him, do not go back to your village. He took him from the village to heal him. He took him from what was comfortable and familiar. And when he was done, he says, do not go back. I wonder, could it be because that village is the comfortable place, the familiar? And when you encounter Jesus, you encounter a transformation that says that we do not go back, but we move forward. I think that's an important point to remember, that our transformation takes place when we're willing to leave where we're comfortable. And that was Paul's point to the church to begin with, that we walk by faith, not by sight. And we throw that word faith around very often. But Paul is simply saying to the people, as he's saying to us today, this is a trust walk. This is a trust walk, and that is how we are going to be able to navigate difficult situations, because we trust in God to walk us through. Not what our sight is, because our sight can be clouded. But even in his instructions to the people, Paul says to them, and this is a language that sometimes we might be uncomfortable with in our Lutheran understanding, but he says to them, yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make our aim to please him. And this is the key point I want to end with. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Paul reminds us that our actions have accountability. Our inactions have accountability. We have the confidence to walk in the strength of God. But we're also encouraged to allow our eyes to be open so we can be transformed individually and as a church and a society. Do not even go into the village. Brothers and sisters, we're at a place where we are being challenged to be transformed. And the transformation is not and has not been easy. I didn't think there would come a time when I would be trying to preach across Zoom, but here we are. But we remain clothed by God in our humble tents as we remember that our strength comes from God. So brothers and sisters, continue to walk in faith, continue to trust God and rely on God's guidance. Amen.